With each new legislative session, there are new opportunities to affect positive changes in the lives of Texans and in the industries of the Lone Star State. The industry of higher education is no exception. With the new legislative session right around the corner, stakeholders in higher education are anxious to address some of the outstanding issues and to bring new ones to light. Hello and welcome to The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. This program for August 2014 is being used to highlight the top five priorities for higher education as it relates to the upcoming legislative session. And Dr. Jones, you and I had an opportunity to discuss some of these issues recently.
That's right, Jared. I think a lot of times people think that summertime on a university campus is pretty slow. And if you walk around campus, that perception will be reinforced because we don't have a lot of hustle and bustle in terms of human activity. But the summer before a legislative session is pretty action-packed because we've had a recent round of primary and runoff elections. So we have some new players in Austin. Been a lot of turnover, so a lot of getting to know some new folks. And this is the time when we try to kind of shape our case so that we can put our best foot forward with the Texas State Legislature. The top five issues, these are not, you know, canonical or anything. These are Dan's top five.
Well, that's what we're here to discuss. What's important here?
Yeah, but I think a lot of university presidents around the state would agree that these are all critical and vital issues. I'm going to read them off, and then I'm going to introduce our guest because a couple of these have really direct impact on students' ability to come to college anywhere in the state. First one is TRBs. That's shorthand for tuition revenue bonds, and that is longhand for capital project improvements.
Right.
In other words,
buildings.
Yeah, new buildings. The state has not funded any new construction projects at the state level through the legislative appropriation process in 9 years. So there's a lot of what we are gently calling deferred investment around the state. We'll come back and talk about
that.
It's high time. Yeah. Financial aid is always a critical issue, and that is especially at our regional universities like A&M Commerce, but really even at the flagships. So many of our students rely on financial aid, period. If they get it, they can come. If they don't get it, they can't come.
Right.
It's just as simple as that. Formula funding, this is the way we get our appropriation from the state for every class that we teach, every semester credit hour that we generate. The state returns a portion of appropriated funds to us based on formula funding, and it's a horribly complex system, but the bottom line is that's where most of our appropriations come from. And those are always kind of it ain't over till it's over kind of thing. We don't know exactly what the formula rate's going to be, and we don't know what percentage funding it's going to be. Hazelwood funding has to do with veterans benefits, and this is has always been a very important program for our veterans. It's not a new program at all. It's been around about 60 years, but it was recently expanded to include children and survivors of veterans, so it's having quite an impact on us. And then finally, the coordinating board recently decided to recommend to the legislature that certain community colleges would be given the authority to offer four-year degrees. And so that's creating a lot of discussion, obviously.
Sure.
Nothing's going to happen until the legislature determines what it wants to see happen. But it's one of those potentially disruptive innovations. Anyway, let me circle back and introduce our guest, Dr. Mary Hendricks, who is our Vice President for Student Access and Success, native of Commerce, proud graduate of Commerce High School. I like to think, you know, this is Mary's university. The rest of us just sort of are passing through. So, Mary, welcome.
Well, thank you, President Jones. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being with us. And let's talk about these top big five here, the ones that have the most direct impact on students, and that would be the financial aid and the Hazelwood funding. Whichever order you like. Let's talk about Hazelwood first.
Sure.
That's one that, why don't I shut up and let you explain what Hazelwood is, since you work with it every day.
Sure. Thank you very much. Of course, Hazelwood has been around for approximately 60 years. It is primarily targeted for Texas residents who have served in the military for 180 days or more, excluding basic training.
Right.
A lot of our citizens really do not know that benefit is there and has been extended now to the legacy, which would be the children of those who have served. And then also those who were disabled during that course of service actually benefit from it. And then, of course, those who served our country so honorably and are no longer here. So
right.
we have seen a significant increase for our institution over the last few years, as have all institutions in the state of Texas. And the impact for us is that these students are exempt from tuition and fees except for the student service fee. In other words, it's pretty much a free education for them.
Right.
It does impact us, all institutions in the state, and for us it's to the tune of about $3 million a year. This year expected to increase significantly for the next 5 years.
Right.
So I think one of the challenges that we all face is that we perceive this to be our duty, and it's an honor to be able to serve these students and their children, but it's also an issue for us, how do we continue to do it and not receive any revenue? And so I think going into the legislative session, they were very kind to us during the last session, providing some funding. Because of the increase, we're going to need a lot more.
Yeah, I think the issue here is that this is a wonderful program for veterans. No one wants to see it go away. But the impact on all universities, bottom line, is significant and growing. This is essentially $3 million in foregone revenue. This is money that we don't collect, but we still provide services and instruction. So at the end of the day, it's really the other students who are bearing the cost of this tuition exemption program for our veterans. And again, it's a wonderful program. No one wants it to go away, but we are just hopeful that the legislature finds the resources and the political will to help us pay for it.
Right.
Something that we all want to see continue and to grow.
It's important to note that it's a thing that picks up where the GI Bill sort of leaves off.
Right.
In the state of Texas, it allows a lot of people to go to school who might otherwise have struggled with that opportunity. But at the end of the day, however magnificent the program is and how much we all want to be a part of it, you're right. At the end of the day, you've got to be able to fund the thing.
Right.
And I think that there's a little bit of a disconnect, perhaps, on the government side. Yes, it should happen, but how are we going to pay for it?
Right.
And I think that's why it's on the top five.
Right, exactly. And we'll keep it on the top five. And fortunately, there is some money in play this session. The figures, of course, the figures change every day. But as of today, it looks like there's somewhere between $2 and $3 billion in surplus revenue in the current biennium that's available to be appropriated during this upcoming fiscal year. And that could grow to as much as $5 billion by the time the legislature actually convenes.
But there are other institutions, and then there are other industries, too, with their eye on those dollars as well. I think that's important to note.
Exactly. I think one of the things that the state is going to really struggle with, even with the surplus revenue, is the cost of Medicare.
Right.
And Medicare is apparently, there's no limit to how big Medicare can get. And that's non-discretionary funding. You know, that has to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's. I was speaking with our state rep, Dan Flynn, last week, and he was saying this is going to be a tough session. And I said, well, you know, I heard that there was going to be some money in play. And he said, that's why it's so tough.
That's right.
You know, it's always easier to just to say no. But anyway, Hazelwood is on the top five. And also in the top five is financial aid. And Dr. Hendricks, can you tell us a little bit about the challenges our students face and how important it is to make sure that we keep that revenue stream of financial aid flowing?
You bet. Of course, as you said, so many of our students would not be able to attend our university or really any university without some sort of financial assistance. Over about the last 5 years, we've seen federal financial aid decline, the Pell Grant amount, the number of quarters for which students are eligible mm-hmm. to receive funding. And so the state has been picking up through the Texas Grant, Be On Time, other various funding sources, and those have also been declining. And as we're charged with serving increasingly difficult student population, those many of whom just would not have the resources to come here,
right.
We're going to need more funds for these students. If we want to fulfill their dreams, it's going to take money. And I think the legislature is going to have to address, one, that the fact that the amount for Texas Grant is not enough to cover the cost of tuition and fees for today's students, and two, the increasing number of students that we're seeing coming from the pipeline.
Right.
We know from the demographic projections, it's going to be an increasingly difficult population to serve, many of whom just do not have the resources So if we want as a state to really be able to compete and to enjoy our living as we do now, we're going to have to invest.
Right. College is, it's important to everybody, I guess, you know, right. That's a bit of a cliche. But the demographic trends that Dr. Hendricks was referring to are the ones that we're all aware of, and that is the students that we are welcoming to our university now are not the students that we welcomed to the university 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
These are increasingly students who represent underserved minority populations and students from challenging economic circumstances. The benefits of a college education to these students are expansive. You know, our chancellor has said, and I fully support this idea, that next to a religious conversion, nothing will change your life more positively and more completely than a college education. Certainly, we embrace that as part of our mission here. But in order to take advantage of that opportunity, there's a cost. And increasingly, the students who stand to benefit the most from that opportunity are also the students who have the most trouble coming up with the resources. So as the public sources of funding continue to decline, we need to make sure that our elected officials are aware of the importance of that funding, and also to encourage our alumni and community partners to consider stepping up the game a little bit,
right.
and increasing private support for scholarships and financial aid. It's a group effort.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got to play on the same team here.
Right.
And everyone has to be cognizant of the same realities. You know, Texas is a pretty good place to live and work. You know, our economy never really sank into as deep a pit as the national economy
right.
did. Unemployment never got as high here as it did in different parts of the nation. You know, we're a low-tax state, light regulations, positive business environment. But there's some areas where Texas does not lead the nation, and educational attainment is one of those. And this is where we need to make a real strong commitment to the future, not just of these students, but of our state. Because if we don't, the consequences would truly and will truly be dire.
Let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion of the top five issues that higher education will be tracking in the legislature this session. You're listening to The President's Perspective, only on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Support for KETR comes in many different forms: cash, credit card, check, car donations, day sponsors, or planned gifts. You don't have to have a certain balance in the bank to love or appreciate KETR. Whatever way works best for you, we appreciate the support that you can share with the station that gives you so much every day.
Sometimes it's handy to know what's important to the CEO of one of the largest employers in Northeast Texas. That's what this program is all about. The President's Perspective is a chat with the CEO of TAMUC, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. We're talking about decisions that an upcoming legislative session might make and how some of those decisions could have an effect on institutions of higher learning like Texas A&M University Commerce, which is entering its 125th consecutive year of providing high-value quality educational opportunities to those who seek them.
Couldn't say it better myself, Jared. Well put. Well, let's return to our big five issues here for facing higher ed in the upcoming legislative session. Of course, we just talked about financial aid and Hazelwood funding or veterans benefits. The other three are, and we'll do these in order, formula funding, capital projects, and then the Community College Baccalaureate Authority. Formula funding, is a complicated system, and it's hard to make it simple. But the bottom line is that's mostly how we pay the bills around here. It's money that we generate through a series of formulas that pay institutions based on the number of students they teach, the number of credit hours each student takes, and the various weights. I'm doing the air quotes now.
Sure.
The formula funding weights are based on really market realities, that it's cheaper to teach, say, a section of freshman composition than it is to teach a doctoral course in business administration.
Sure.
You got to pay the faculty member more, the classes are smaller, and so forth. So there's 19 different funding weights, and each one of those, actually there's times three, well, times four, lower division, upper division, master's, and then doctoral. So it's a god-awful complicated mess is what it is. But but again, that's how we get our money, so that's why it's so important to us. And really, the message, our perennial message to our elected officials is, if there's extra money lying around for higher ed, put it in the formula. At the end of the day, the way the money is split up is based on the size of the pie. There's a set amount and set aside for higher education. Each institution gets a share of that based on their market share. In other words, the number of semester credit hours, number of students, things right. I was just talking about. So obviously, if the pie gets bigger, everyone benefits. If the pie stays the same or shrinks, then we're all squeezed. So our message to Austin is, if you want to support higher ed, put the money in the formula.
As opposed to what?
Well, other kinds of special expenditures, special projects, special programs. Dr. Hendricks, you've been at this institution longer than I have, but I don't think you've been in higher ed longer than I have.
Some days it feels like
I know. I know this is a perennial issue in Texas higher ed, and formula funding is just the, as I said, it's the lifeblood.
Right.
Jared, your question was, where else might it be put?
Right.
It's basically anything else.
Right.
Okay?
Right. In terms of higher education, you said if there's money for higher education, let's put in the formula as opposed to other specific things that institutions might be asking for.
Right. I mean, I'll give you an example. And this is rather politicized example, so I'll apologize in advance because I'm not trying to make a political comment here, but the CPRIT program, the Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas, several billions of dollars were put into that, which could have been put into formula funding for higher ed. Okay, and so there's an example of a very costly program, which had some problems, that drew funding, diverted funding that might have gone toward the pursuit of other educational outcomes.
So there you go. Just make sure that we're not doing silly things with the money that's left over. Instead, putting them back in.
You can be assured we don't do silly things. We teach students with it.
And I think it's important to note, whenever you talk about paying the bills, you're paying the bills with this money, and you didn't say anything about tuition or fees or any other thing. I think it's important to note that the money that the institution counts on for paying the bills, for keeping the lights on and all these other things, comes from the formula funding, not necessarily from the students. However high you might think the cost of your education is, it's significantly higher, and there are things going on in the background to make sure that that's all you have to pay.
Right. And if this program were a couple of days rather than a half an hour, we could talk about the way all those ratios changed over the years, because students are, in fact, paying a greater percentage of the cost. But the point is that every student, even if they write a check for the full cost of tuition and textbooks, is still getting about half of their education paid for by the taxpayers through the formula. So, again, vitally important to our kind of an institution.
Sure.
Let's move on to capital projects. Again, the term here is TRBs. I doubt that term is going to be around much longer because there's a real aversion to debt in Austin and in the nation, really. But TRBs, or whatever we end up calling it, is the way we build buildings. And again, at regional comprehensive universities. I've been here a little over 6 years now. And the first session for which I represented Commerce was 2009, and we had our library as our number one project. Dr. Hendricks, I believe that had been on the project list long before my arrival.
Exactly. At least two other previous sessions. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this will be the fifth or sixth session that we will have been asking for a new library. This time we're also going to be asking for a new nursing building. And again, Dr. Hendricks, I'm going to ask you for some numbers here in terms of our nursing. We can admit about 30 or 35 students per cohort. How many students do we have in line waiting to get in?
We have approximately 600 pre-nursing majors.
Wow.
So you can see the demand is certainly there.
Right.
Yes.
So this is a program that if we build it, they will come. In fact, they're already here.
Right.
They're not waiting for us to build it.
They may be biding their time in the humanities waiting for
it. Right. So, again, the fact that there's some money in play is very encouraging. It's been 9 years. It was the third special session of the 2005 session, that would have been January 06, that the last TRB bill passed. 9 years since there's been any investment in capital projects at state universities. Now, that doesn't mean that there's been no building in that time. I mean, we built residence halls. Those are self-financing. The big flagships that have deep-pocket donors, the Mitchell Engineering Building at the A&M campus, for example, you know, was financed in large measure through private donations. But we don't have that capacity here.
Right.
So, again, we depend on the state of Texas. And let's wrap up with Community College Baccalaureate Authority. And Dr. Hendricks, you've been tracking this one as well. Can you kind of set the stage where we're at with that, what the coordinating board is looking at and the RAND study and those kinds of things?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. I guess it was about, 8 or 9 years ago, the coordinating board and the legislature did grant degree-granting authority to three institutions in the state, for baccalaureate degrees, and those are Bachelor of Applied Technology, Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences program, which are really what we call workforce degrees, where they could then apply that credit to a baccalaureate degree. Mm-hmm. What we're understanding now is that the RAND Corporation was actually issued a contract by the Coordinating Board to study the issue of expanding that authority to allow other community colleges in the state to offer baccalaureate degrees for those two programs, and also to include the RN to BSN program. And last Thursday, the Coordinating Board did meet and gave preliminary approval to allow that degree granting authority to go to the legislature for them to consider during this next session. I think there are some issues with that duplication of effort. Also, it comes back to those of us in public regional institutions have done some degree completion programs that are specifically targeted for those populations. And of course, we now are the only state institution to have authority to offer a competency-based program, which is specifically targeted for that population as well as those in the military. Mm-hmm. So I think there are going to be some issues that the legislature is going to have to address with expanding that authority statewide. We all know we have many students to serve, but then it comes down to, do we really want to duplicate services to students?
And again, you know, this sounds like protectionism, and, you know, we don't want other people walking in on our turf, but it's not that at all. It's really maximizing state resources. We have this institution, all institutions in the state of Texas, especially the regional public universities, have worked very diligently over the last 10, 15, 20 years to strengthen the pipeline between community colleges and universities. I think we do a tremendous job here in terms of maximizing transfer credit, in terms of minimizing time to degree. So we don't want all of our partners now to be reframed as our competitors.
Right.
You know, we've worked too hard to build those relationships for the good of the student. So we'll track this one as it moves forward, and we'll be happy with the outcome.
Whatever that is, you know. And we'll talk about it again in the future.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt.
Dr. Hendricks, thank you so much for joining us on
the
program.
Thank you, Jared. It was a pleasure.
I wish we had forever to talk about these things, because they probably deserve at least that much discussion.
I was walking over here this morning. I was reminiscing about Bobby Aiken, thinking how much fun it would have been to have him in the studio this morning to talk about this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, he'd have been ready to let his opinion known.
Yeah.
If you missed something in this program, or you'd like to hear it all again from the top, you can find it archived online at ketr.org. Look for the President's Perspective under local programs. And if radio like this holds some value for you as a listener, consider becoming a member today. Visit ketr.org and click Support This Station. We're streaming all the time, and we're on iTunes Radio now, so you can lock us in there as well and carry Dr. Jones in your pocket all over the world if you like. This program is produced in partnership with the Texas A&M University Commerce and is recorded at KETR Studios in historic Binion Hall in Commerce. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.